empowerment, self-preservation, choice. Strong words that evoke a variety of emotions and which have motivated Amy Robbins. Amy is co-founder and CEO of Alexo Athletica, a unique women's apparel company whose mission is to defend and to help women find greater confidence to live and protect themselves as they see fit. Fast becoming a national phenomenon, Amy is this week's Game Face exec. And it's a real thrill to welcome Amy Robbins, who is the co-founder and CEO of Alexo Athletica, straight from Dallas, Texas. Amy, welcome to Game Face Execs Podcast.
Hey, Rob, it's so good to be here with you. And I have to give you kudos because Alexo Athletica is so hard for people to say. So I need to know, did you practice that several times before I came on?
You know, I've said it many times before. I stumbled the first few times I tried it, but by now it's old hat.
It's the alliteration. And there's a lot behind how we chose Alexo Athletica, but I always have to give props to people that get it right the first time. So good job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We're off to a good start. So let me ask you, Amy, you know, when you and I have spoken, it's so interesting to find your background and your varied interests. And when people ask me, how would you describe Amy Robbins? You know, quite frankly, I don't know how to put it into one phrase or even certainly one word. You know, I thought of, well, she's an entrepreneur. She's a businesswoman. She's a gun rights advocate. She's kind of a non-traditional feminist. So how do you describe Amy Robbins, if you could?
Rob, honestly, I think I'm still trying to figure that out. You know, I've never been somebody that gets too wrapped up and concerned with titles and descriptions, because honestly, I feel like that puts you in such a box. And so, you know, I definitely see, like, yeah, I have several titles that you just gave, and those are all good, but I definitely want to add mother and wife to that list as well, because those are the two most important things. I would say the two most important titles that I hold over any of the other things that I do.
Well, and I appreciate that, because just about a year ago, you became a mother, didn't you?
I did, probably during one of the craziest times in my lifetime. He came 5 days after Dallas kind of shut down everything. So, you know, we were right in the middle of the pandemic. And I said, it's going to make a great birth story. We saved the front page newspaper for him so we could tell him everything that was going on. But yeah, I had my first child in March of last year. So it's been an exciting year for sure.
Congratulations. And you and your husband co-founded the business. Is that fair to say?
We did. Yeah. So gosh, I mean, I couldn't do this without him. He's been so incredibly supportive the entire time. Yeah, I pitched this crazy idea to start a clothing company that gave women the ability to carry self-defense tools about 5 years ago to him. And I had all my research planned out, because I really wasn't really sure how he was going to accept this, you know, because there's a new athletic company popping up every 10 minutes. And so to get him on board, I really had to make my case and show him all the research that I had done, and also share my personal experience with him as to why I thought this product was so incredibly needed. And really, it didn't take that much convincing. I laid it all out for him, and he was like, I'm in, I'm on board. What do we need to do? And I looked at him and I said, I have no idea. I don't have a background in manufacturing. I don't have a background in fashion design. So I'm not really sure what we do, but I think I know enough people in this industry that we can figure it out. Let's go and let's do this and let's make it happen.
Well, let's get into that story a little bit, Amy, because it's a fascinating story. And I think as more and more people learn your story, they kind of say, well, why didn't I think of that? Right? Because that's a concern that I've had. So I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, but you're an avid runner. We know that. You're a marathoner. You love fitness. And in your workouts, in your private and personal workouts, as you tell the story, you'd be outside, you'd be running maybe, you know, at twilight or at sunset. And you had a bit of a concern as you were engaged in your hobby, which turned into a business. So kind of tell us the story of how Alexo Athletico began.
Yeah. So it really goes back a couple of years, even before my marathon experience and what happened to me when I was training for my marathon, because honestly, I had never really thought about firearms as a means of personal safety, except for in the home. And so what had happened, I mean, I grew up in a house that was, my dad always had firearms. We had all girls in my family, but he was an avid hunter. He carried firearms when we went on like family trips. And the way that they were always presented to us was, these firearms are tools that are here to protect and defend our family. And then also, you know, provide food and provide essentials for our family. And so that was kind of like my framework for firearms growing up my entire life. But it didn't become personal to me until I started hosting a television show, actually. And it was a lifestyle show focused on millennials and firearms. And I was like the newbie on the show. My dad had just bought me my first firearm, gosh, like that Christmas right before I had started the show. I didn't know anything about them. Honestly, I was quite intimidated by them because I didn't know how to operate them, but I knew that it was important. We lived out in the middle of nowhere. The cops were going to take forever to get to our house. My husband traveled all the time. So, you know, I knew, I was like, gosh, I want to at least know how to protect myself if I need to. And if the firearm is going to be in the house, I need to know how to do it safely, responsibly, and I need to know how to take care of myself. So that was kind of the beginning of my journey into the quote unquote firearm world. But I never looked at myself as a gun girl. I looked at the firearms community as something that was very much, how do I say it? Like, not me. I didn't think I looked like a gun owner. I didn't think I fit the mold of what a gun girl or a gun person was. And so I never really thought that they were going to be accessible to me. But as I did this show, everyone around me carried a firearm for personal defense. Like, they had their license to carry. So they really took this lifestyle to heart. And it was then that it really became something that I started to consider. So that was kind of the framework for what led me into even thinking about starting this company with Alexo.
So first of all, what does your dad think about what you do today?
Oh my gosh, he thinks it's so cool. Actually, it's really funny because now my dad and my husband both come to me when they have questions about what firearms to buy. I've almost outpaced them a little bit in my skill set and in my knowledge of firearms. And they think it's really, really cool. I was always the tomboy in the family. My dad said I was the son that he never had. And I never really understood that or thought that was a compliment until I got older. But they think it's really cool that I can help give them advice. And they even pass me off to their friends now when their friends have questions about what firearm to either buy themselves or their wives for home defense, or if they want to take it a next step further and actually do it for, you know, like make it a lifestyle and carry on body all the time.
So in the evolution of the company, you have almost by default become a gun rights advocate.
Yeah.
And so this is obviously, we both know, because we've talked about our businesses before, we're both small business owners. In order to survive, you have to stand out. You have to almost be edgy in today's world, right? Whether you're using social media or your product or sloganeering. So you definitely have an edgy feel to your business. Is that because of your television background, your marketing background, that you knew in order to get the attention of a prospective buyer, you had to kind of stand out, and that was one way to do it?
That's a really great question. I don't think it was anything that was ever intentional on our part, but we did understand the environment and the controversy that surrounded firearms in general. And the interesting thing about our company is Alexo started focusing on women's apparel. And we focused on women's apparel because we truly believe that the self-reliant woman is the most confident woman. But we also knew that giving them the ability to carry a tool is really just a small piece of this entire lifestyle of being a fully capable person. And so, you know, it was interesting because I want to say we launched our company right at the height of the Me Too movement. And we were able to capitalize kind of on the controversy that was surrounding the Me Too movement. And we weren't trying to be controversial, but what we were trying to tell people was like, look, we actually want to solve this solution. And of the women that are saying me too, that these things had happened to them, this assault, this sexual assault, we wanted to provide a solution for women. And that didn't just mean putting a firearm in the hand of every single woman. We wanted to give women the tools to feel confident to be able to defend and protect themselves and carry really whatever it was that made them feel confident. So they got in a situation that they found themselves where they might have to say me too. We wanted to give them the option to never have to say me too. Or if something had happened to them, we wanted to make sure that they never had to experience that again. And so naturally there was controversy surrounding that, because sometimes, especially media outlets, couldn't see past the fact that we marketed things with a firearm because we had built-in holsters in the pants of our outfits. And for a lot of media that really is very anti-firearm, because they just don't understand it, they look at everything that has a firearm in it and marketing as promoting guns or maybe gun violence. And that simply wasn't the case. We really just looked at it as we're providing a solution to a problem. We're providing confidence. And, you know, that controversy worked to our benefit because we were a small business and we were completely self-funded. We didn't have any money for marketing. And so we were able to pick up a lot of free media and free marketing that really helped propel and launch our company to the level that we're at now, because there was also nobody else doing it at that point. So when we launched 3 years ago, we were the first and only company on the like entire lifestyle brand that gave women this ability to choose how they wanted to defend and protect themselves.
I'd like to get inside the mind of an entrepreneur. And so let's go back to your hobby. You're a marathoner and you had some experiences that, as you said, were the inspiration behind Alexo. Paint that picture for us a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. Absolutely. I mean, anyone who runs a marathon understands, especially as a woman, you're running really crazy hours, really early in the morning or really late at night. And a lot of times you're doing it by yourself. And women face a lot of different issues when it comes to running than guys do. I mean, let's just face it. So it became very personal to me. I was out running one day out in the country. I did the same awesome back road run at a 7 mile loop that I would do and never unsafe. At this point, I was not carrying any self-defense tool on my body. I hadn't really thought about it. And I remember I went out for a run one day and I was on my path and I see this white van coming over the hill that was full of men. Typically wouldn't, you know, bother me or scare me, but when they slow down and they roll the windows down and they start doing the catcalling and all that, you know, makes you a little uneasy. And from there, they passed me, they went to a stop sign, but then they turned around. And it was at that point they turned around, I was like, you know what? Maybe nothing's going to happen, but that gut intuition told me like, okay, what are you going to do? Like, there's obviously I'm outnumbered. If something were to happen, what are you going to do, Amy? And so I kind of started planning my escape route, you know, all these things like, what am I going to do? Luckily, my story ended there. But as I went and started researching, what I started finding was 80% of women runners and walkers and joggers actually had experienced some form of harassment, assault. And unfortunately, there's been numerous women that have actually even been murdered when they've been by themselves on a run. So I saw this problem and I'm like, okay, 54% of women choose walking or running. So it's a large population. If this many of those runners have experienced this, and I think it was, I forget what the stat was when we did this 5 years ago, it was up to like 70% of those women carried some form of self-defense tool when they ran or walked. And I'm like, okay, I went and got my license to carry. I started seeing how many women got their license to carry as well. And I'm like, we're all wearing athletic clothes 80% of the time, even if we're not working out. There has to be a better way for us to carry these tools in a hidden place on our body so that we could access them very easily and quickly and we can be hands-free. Because we all know that when you're hands-free, it helps you be situationally aware a lot more than when you've got a lot of stuff in your hands and you're distracted. Mm-hmm. And so that's really the genesis of the company. It was a personal need. And then I started seeing like how many millions of women had this same fear. And I was like, look, I don't want to stop running because I had a fearful experience. I just want to be prepared and have the tools that I need to continue living my life in complete confidence that I'm able to handle and take care of myself. And I don't have to change my daily routine just because I can't fend for myself. And so that was really like when we started developing this idea, I was like, I want this to be so much more than just a clothing brand, just an apparel brand. It was the ethos and it was the community behind what we were doing that we knew we had something special. And I think a lot of, like I said, there was no competition in the market at that point. And we've since started to see people popping up and trying to do the same thing. And I think they think, oh, that's easy. We'll just, you know, put some holsters built into athletic pants and we'll do exactly what Alexa's doing. And they don't understand the importance of that ethos and that mindset of really what we were trying to accomplish. And that I believe set us apart from all the other people that are starting to enter into the market at this point.
So I guess my listeners and viewers will actually have to secure one of your pieces of apparel to see how it works, or they can go on your website. There's some great videos there. I will just tell you, as one who has not put on an Alexo piece of, you know, I haven't worn the yoga pants yet, Amy, but it seems to me like a heavy firearm would be very uncomfortable. Now, granted, there's people who are concealing weapons constantly. They have the license to carry.
Yeah.
But when you're exercising, it seems that that would be uncomfortable. So how did you work yourself around that? You know?
Yeah, that's actually a fantastic question. And I always say that the women's line was a lot easier to overcome that challenge than the men's line. We've been working on our men's line now for a little over a year and a half, and COVID set that back a little bit. Men like to carry super heavy firearms, but because I was in the industry before this, I knew what the most common models were that women were carrying on a daily basis. They were small, subcompact, micro compact even. And I knew for a woman, like, it's a lot harder to conceal big guns. So we typically will gravitate towards smaller models. So when we built that with that in mind. And the factory recommendation is actually 23 ounces loaded weight or less, which show the most common models for women carrying firearms, SIG P365, a SIG 938, a Glock 43, Ruger LCP. So really small models. And those are, because of the most common models, those are the ones that fit into our pants. I do get asked every now and then, are you going to make a model that we can carry our Glock 19? And I'm like, probably not, because I don't know a woman that wants to go run 12 miles with a Glock 19, like on her hip, you know? Usually that's from law enforcement officers that we get asked that question, because their duty weapons are typically heavier. They have a higher capacity. And so we get asked that a lot from like our FBI agents and our law enforcement, but most women carry small firearms. And that was another concern, was the comfortability of it. A lot of barriers to women carrying is how uncomfortable a big bulky Kydex holster is. And so we wanted to eliminate that. And that's why we went with these really great cloth holsters that make it super convenient and super comfortable to carry. So I think it eliminates a lot of barriers of entry for women to want to carry on body. It eliminates that need for them to throw it in their purse, which I think is really ineffective. It gets more people carrying on body, and which to me is the most effective self-defense method if you are going to choose to carry a firearm.
Well, and as you mentioned earlier, quite frankly, we're wearing athletic gear when we go shopping, right?
Yep.
When we're going to watch the kids' soccer game, it's not just for exercising. And I also, you know, I've seen your apparel, and it carries all kinds of instruments, like a phone, for example. So it's not just for firearms.
Exactly. I mean, we wanted to make a very functional utility line because like I said, like, we just want to give the tools to men and to women to live a self-reliant life. So whatever can help you be hands-free, whatever can help you, we load those things with pockets. I mean, our signature line has over 10 storage spaces built into the leggings. So, I mean, you can go purse-free if you want to and not have to worry about that, which I did. I went to NASCAR and didn't even have to worry about taking a purse because I just packed all my pockets out, and it was super convenient. So, I mean, moms are wearing these pants, even moms that don't carry a firearm, they're wearing it because they're finding it super convenient to just put everything on their body and have quick access to it when they need it. And so that's what's been most exciting to us, is that there are a ton of women that are understanding, like, look, I may not carry a firearm, I ever have a need for that, but I do want to have functionality and utilities and pockets and places. And I like the idea that this company supports my right to choose how I want to defend myself. And so a lot of people are jumping on board with the Alexo community and the Alexo mindset, because they understand, like, we're not just about empowering people and giving people confidence through the ability to, like, strengthen their body. We want to help them have a sharp mind, a strong body, and the tools that they need to say, I can take care of myself in any situation. And so that ethos and the mission of our company is truly what sets us apart from other athletic companies that are entering into the market on a day in, day out basis.
And this idea of empowerment to me is really inspiring, because frankly, it's tragic that you even had to think about starting this company.
I agree.
And yet, thankfully, your mind and your experience and your spirit said, you know what, there's got to be a solution, because I have the right to exercise or to be out in the public when I want to be out, where I want to be out, and I shouldn't be limited by my fears.
Right.
And so you've empowered women. And I like how you, how you've described it both here and also in your marketing materials, that you're giving people, especially women, the right to choose how they want to defend themselves, but also how they want to live.
Exactly.
And I think it's brilliant.
Well, thank you. I mean, that was, it was just, that was the most important thing to me is, especially, like I said, since we started out with women's apparel only, it doesn't change. Even men want to be competent and capable and able to take care of themselves no matter what situation they find themselves in. So men and women, we're seeing them every single day going out and finding tools and places to sharpen their mindset, to increase the strength of their body. And then for so many people, especially in America, they are like a part of that being an ultra capable person is a being a prepared person, whether that's prepared with your self-defense, prepared by having a tire, a spare tire in your car, just in case you need it. They're really starting to think of preparation a lot differently. And being a prepared person is really the number one thing that gives you peace of mind, no matter what situation you find yourself in. And so that's truly at the core of what we're doing. There's like such a deeper message than just, here's a place to put your firearm, go carry. You know, that's a piece of it, but it's definitely a lot deeper than that as well.
Well, you know, you talk about self-preparation. I love the way you describe that. It also reminds me of self-preparation is also kind of the precursor to self-preservation.
Yep.
So if you're not prepared, it's pretty hard to preserve. And so how do you get around the notion and perhaps the misjudgment that many might have that you're not promoting self-preparation or self-preservation, you're promoting violence? And you've kind of addressed that, Amy, but if you could go a little bit deeper into that, because in today's climate, especially in the United States, where it seems like firearms are becoming more prevalent in the news, they seem to be the instigator of more news events, I've got to perceive that some people are cheering you on while other people wish you would go out of business.
And you're exactly right. Yes, we definitely have seen both sides of that. And that's why we feel such a responsibility to continue to educate and to continue in our marketing efforts and the promotion of this entire mind, body, armor idea, where it's so much more than the firearm. And we want to continue to push on this idea that we have a right to choose in this country. And, you know, we can play that game too with the right of choice. And, you know, I think we've done a good job and been able to kind of navigate these tricky waters because it hasn't always been just about the firearm to us. It never was. It never started out that way. You know, I'm a licensed firearm instructor. I'm a certified instructor. So it was natural for me to carry a firearm. But with our initial messaging and branding, like, it was never just about that. And so we can always point back. We've been very consistent in our messaging from day one. And we can always point back to this isn't just about the firearm. So there are some media outlets that have wanted to make it all about that. And it, oddly enough, the thing that really surprised me, most of the pushback actually came from other women, actually came from a lot of women who believe misguided stats when it comes to firearms. And I try to just push back and educate and say, look, like one of the biggest stats that they like to tout is, you know, a woman is more likely to die in a household where there's a firearm. And I'm like, well, I think women are ultra capable of learning about that firearm and using it in a self-defense situation if they want to. I don't like the idea that a woman isn't smart enough or strong enough or capable enough to learn something like a firearm and use it in a self-defense situation. So it's super important to me that we just continue to hone in on the fact that this is, you know, women are able to do this. They're capable of doing this. And with the right training and the right safety measures in place, it actually can be a tool that can be used towards their benefit. It has been interesting to see this, but we say on our website that we want to apologize for being Second Amendment advocates because I believe the Second Amendment gives us the right to choose how we want to defend ourselves. Yes, it's about bearing arms, and bearing arms is kind of the pinnacle of a self-defense tool. But ultimately, it recognizes that we all have a right to life and a right to defend that life. And so really, it still gives people the opportunity to choose mace or a taser or whatever else they choose to defend and protect themselves. Because right now it is recognized under our Constitution that we have that right to defend our life. And so I don't apologize for that. And that will always be at the core of who we are. And so, yeah, it's definitely been interesting as we've navigated all of those. Everyone has very strong opinions on firearms. So,
well, some of those opinions, I'm not saying all, but I say some are probably based on either side, mm-hmm. I think could be based on misinformation or misunderstanding. And yeah. Let me give an example of that. It's you and I have chatted before about the fact that I have a relative who is very much a gun advocate because of the way the things that you just articulated. They feel the same and they're very strong in that. And they have educated me on things that I never considered in the past. And so one of the things that I've learned from them is that gun owners who are responsible, which are the vast, vast majority of gun owners, have a strict rule of ethics mm-hmm. that they abide by. And in fact, I'd like you to talk a little bit about that in the world in which you find yourself, in which you are commercializing your hobby, which turned into a business. Those who are responsible gun owners do certain things and are required to do certain things. And it's not because they're compelled to do it. I find it's because they have a desire to act and live responsibly as individuals and as citizens. So can you give us a little bit of peek into that world of...
I'm glad you brought that up because there is a misconception about gun owners that really is just flat out wrong. My experience, and I've been in the industry for a long time now, every gun owner that I know takes safety and training very, very serious. And they take it very serious because they understand that if they don't, then they're a part of the problem. They're a part of the problem that could get that right stripped away. And so they go to the range and they practice. They know how their firearm operates. They know the four basic gun laws of safety and to make you a responsible gun owner. They're storing their firearms. They're thinking about the safety of their family and their home. They don't have to be told or mandated from the government to be safe gun owners. They're doing it because they understand the importance of doing that actually helps preserve the Second Amendment. And especially to take it a next step further, those that have their license to carry, that's a whole nother level of safety, training, and responsibility. You're talking about a group of individuals who have said, I want to take my safety into my own hands. I don't want to have to rely on anybody else. And in order to do that, I need to be extremely trained. I need to think of all of the scenarios. It really starts with the mind. The mindset is the most important thing for people that carry a firearm because they're thinking about every way to get out of the situation to have to use their firearm. They are not thinking about going into a fight and using their firearm. Every concealed carry holder that I know is thinking, I need to be so situationally aware that I can get out of this situation and never have to draw my weapon. But you can't do that unless you're trained in situational training. You can't do that unless you're looking at your surroundings constantly. And so when I say these people are very responsible and they have very good mindsets, these are the things that they're thinking about on a daily basis, which is just a very... It's a higher level than the normal gun owner who just keeps their firearm at home and never touches it and never actually has to go to the range and use it. So, you know, they're spending their time, their money. It's a very expensive hobby to get into shooting. And when you're going to carry a tool on your body that can take life, you better take it very serious. You better be at the range knowing where your target is, knowing what's beyond your target. That's super important when it comes to shooting. You know, you better know how to store that, how to operate it, how to draw safely so that you don't harm yourself or anybody else that you weren't intending to. So, I mean, there's a lot that goes into carrying a firearm on your body than just grabbing a gun and putting it in a holster and calling it a day. And so, you know, I have to educate people on that because a lot of people that are, we'll call them anti-gun people, a lot of that is based in fear. A lot, and not every one of them, but a lot of people who are anti-gun or who are pushing for this legislation to to remove and restrict people's rights to own a firearm. It's because they don't understand the safety and the training and the responsibility, or they've never picked up a gun and shot it themselves. And they can be extremely intimidating, and there is a lot of fear behind that. But I just find that the more I educate people, I take a lot of my friends who are quote unquote anti-gun to the range, and they're like, oh, okay, that wasn't so bad. You know, and so I think that we have a responsibility as gun owners to help educate as many people as we can, especially those that are afraid of them, like take them, show them how to operate it, how to be safe with it. And that's one way to just kind of combat what we're seeing right now in our country.
Well, my friends, my listeners, they know that I've never really voiced any advocacy for gun rights. It's not because I'm opposed to guns, but I've just never been an advocate.
Sure.
But one of the things that comes to my mind as you're describing this, Amy, is that it's kind of like driving a vehicle. We all have to get a license to drive a vehicle, those of us who want to. And yet there are some people out on the freeways, out on the streets, who will run the red light, who will weave in and out of traffic on the freeway at dangerous speeds. And we look at those people and we say, man, those people are crazy, right? They're putting all of our lives in jeopardy. They're endangering us. But we would never think that we should take everyone's cars away from them, or that we should limit people's ability to drive. We simply say that person needs to be, you know, the law needs to take action against that person, and or we need to have better training, better schooling in responsible driving. Is that a fair comparison?
It absolutely is. And it's really interesting that you pointed that out, because if you think about it, all the scenarios that you just mentioned, running the red light, even drunk driving, speeding, there's already laws on the books that really makes all of those activities illegal, but it doesn't stop people from doing it. So I've always said that to me, why when this really restrictive gun legislation comes into play, it's like you can put all of the laws on the books that you want, but those, the very small amount of people in this country, if you look at the hundreds of millions of firearms that are in our country and the hundreds of millions of gun owners that are out there, and we compare that to the few that are doing, that are using that firearm for criminal acts, it doesn't matter what law is on the books. They're criminals. They're using it for a criminal act. They're going to continue to do that. So I always tell people, like, what the stricter legislation does is it actually just infringes on the rights of the law-abiding citizens, those who are already taking responsibility and safety very, very serious. And they would never do anything to intentionally harm anybody or do anything criminal with their firearm. And so, you know, that's why I push back on a lot of this legislation, because I just don't think that it's going to solve the problem. It doesn't solve these people that are doing these acts. It's evil intentions that's in their heart. And you can't legislate evil. You can't legislate that out of somebody. They're going to do it whether or not there's a law on the book or not. And then we have more laws that are infringing on law-abiding citizens and not doing anything to solve the problem.
Well, I know that you're a CEO of an apparel company, and I've kind of driven you down this path of talking about gun rights. So I apologize, but I'm also grateful for shedding some light on this and making us all more aware of rights that do exist in our country. They've existed for centuries, and we need to honor people's ability to exercise those rights. But let me ask you one last question about this topic before I want to query more about Alexo. But if someone is interested and they're hearing you and they think, you know, I'm persuaded by what Amy is saying, what would you recommend they do if they feel now is the time to go learn how to protect themselves?
Yeah, I mean, well, they would be joining one of the 8 million first-time gun owners that bought firearms this year alone. We are seeing unprecedented numbers of people going out and buying firearms. And on one hand, I'm excited about that. On the other hand, I'm like, okay, it's not just about going and buying a gun and calling it a day. I highly recommend many steps and many things prior to buying your first firearm, making sure that you get to the range and work with a really excellent certified instructor who can show you how to operate that. You need to know how to operate your tool. You would never, you know, throw somebody, to use your car analogy, throw them in the car, give them the keys, and then just say, go have fun with that, because the car can be used as a deadly weapon as well. And so with the firearm, it's no different. You want to know how your specific model works. So the best way to do that is to find a great trainer, depending on the state you live in. I mean, I'm in Texas. There's a gun range on every corner around here that is, you know, full of certified instructors, and they love helping first-time gun owners feel confident and comfortable utilizing that tool that they are either going to keep in their house or keep on their body if they decide to take the next steps and actually get licensed to carry that firearm. So training is the most important thing that I push. When my friends come to me and ask me, okay, what gun do I buy? It starts us down an entire conversation of so much more than just the gun. Well, we talk about situational awareness. I ask them, you know, what's the purpose of the firearm? Why do you want to use this firearm? Are you really prepared to use a tool like that if you find yourself in a situation where you need to use it? And if the answer is no, I don't direct you to go buy a firearm. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to really think through so many of these situations, and that makes you a more responsible gun owner. So, you know, we talk through that. And then if they do say, yes, I'm ready to take that next step, it's finding, helping them find the right training that makes them feel comfortable and confident and proficient in using that tool.
Oh, great. Appreciate that advice for those who want to follow up on that. So you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation that the name Alexo was inspired in some way. Can you give us more insight? Because I said Alexo Athletica properly.
Yes.
Many people don't. Where did you come up with the name? Because obviously a name usually means something. I think a lot of small businesses starting today, especially in the tech industry, they come up with names. You don't know what the heck that means, right?
Right.
But I sense that there's something behind your name. So help us.
There definitely is. And it's funny because a lot of people think we're sister companies with Athleta. And I have to constantly be like, no association. I don't think the Gap, you know, wants to be associated with a company that allows people to carry a firearm. So no relation to Athleta whatsoever. But it was interesting because with my background in marketing and advertising, words are super important. I wanted to be able to encompass so many different things in one or two words. And so for me, I've always loved the Greek language for that reason. It can take one word and have an entire definition of what that one word encompasses. So the Greek language is really unique in that sense. We're a little different with the English language. We got to say a lot of words to say what we want to mean. And in the Greek language, you don't have to do that. So I was looking through the Greek words and I was like, I want something that embodies strength, confidence. I didn't know if I wanted it to be this warrior spirit or what, but I wanted it to just embody all the things that the brand was going to embody. So I started Googling, you know, like goddess of war and warrior and this, and Alexandra popped up as the Greek goddess of war. And as I looked into that, the root word Alexo was actually the part of the word that meant to defend and to help.
Wow.
And so I was like, that's it. I mean, it was literally like God dropped that in our lap. And I was like, that's it. We don't even have to look any further because that's exactly what we want to be able to do. We want to be able to help men and women find what they feel confident in defending themselves and being prepared. And then I loved the word Athletica because I just thought that it was Alexo is a little masculine and Athletica is feminine. So you have that good like juxtaposition, mm-hmm. but also since you have two A's, you know, we are a 2A company. So it just kind of worked out perfectly. And then it was funny because then I was reading Sarah Blakely is one of my idols. I love her story with how she created Spanx. And I was reading in her bio after we had launched the company, why she put an X in the name of Spanx, you know, over a K or over KS, you know. And she said that X is a very like bold common letter that people use in their words. And I didn't even know that. I hadn't read that yet. And she said it's, you know, like Kodak does it and Spanx did it. And she listed off all these companies that use an X. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're like on the same wavelength as Sarah Blakely. You know, we must be doing something right. So mm-hmm. yeah. So that's where the word or where the company came from was that Greek word Alexa, which means to defend and to help.
That's awesome. So that we get a peek into the mind of a marketer with that. So thank you, Amy.
I'm giving away all my secrets here.
So we've got Amy, we've got Alexa, we've got Athletica, but we also have within your company ambassadors.
Yes.
So another A word. So help us understand, what's an Alexo ambassador?
Alexo ambassadors are women who helped us from the grassroots level. They're already authentically living this life of being self-reliant, being prepared, and they truly believe in a woman's right to choose how they want to defend themselves. Not every one of our ambassadors carries a firearm. Not even all of our ambassadors even own a firearm, but they all believe at their core that a woman has a right to choose and a woman has a right to defend herself. And so they were building a community was super important for us because, like I said, we didn't have any money for marketing. So we knew right out of the gate that we wanted to go out, make all these touch point contacts, like personal contacts. I was spending hours before we launched reaching out to different accounts that I would see on Instagram, some with huge followings, some with really small followings. And I actually liked the smaller following accounts more because I was like, these women are living this life authentically, sharing about their journey into self-reliance with their normal everyday audience. You know, they're not doing it because they're getting paid by a gun company. They're doing it because they truly just wanted to share their journey of how they got into, whether it's firearms or tasers or a mace, like why they chose to carry a self-defense tool. And I loved that idea. So I would reach out to them. I was constantly asking them about, you know, their stories. Tell me, what was your aha moment? What happened in your life that got you to a point where you wanted to carry a self-defense tool? Tell me that story. And by doing that, and truly like caring about these women, they jumped on board when we launched our line and just truly helped us launch this entire company. I mean, we were sold out when we launched in October of 2017 with pre-order, mind you, because manufacturing, you're never going to get your stuff when you think you're going to get it. And we had already, you know, and that was a lesson that we learned, but we were all excited about the launch. We're launching in October and then our stuff didn't get here till December. So we pivoted very quickly and we're like, okay, we'll do a pre-order. And luckily we had built these great relationships with so many of these women on the grassroots level that they all bought our stuff and we were already sold out of our inventory before it even got here. Mm-hmm. And so that was like a really great sign to us. And so now we encourage women to sign up for our ambassador program, do vet it. I mean, we do obviously want to make sure that every person is extremely, if they are going to post firearm pictures, we're not going to go and sign on an ambassador that we see are not handling their firearm right, that don't have good trigger control, that are pointing their gun in an unsafe direction, or they're not utilizing proper trigger protection, you know? So we actually do vet our ambassadors because we really wanted it to be, we don't care about the numbers and the quantity of ambassadors, we care about the quality of the ambassadors, because especially when it comes to something as serious as promoting firearm and concealed carry, we have to really know that these people are living the life and they're taking the safety and training and responsibility very, very serious.
Wow, it's very impressive. Speaking of impressive, you indicated that you and your husband, when you founded the company, basically bootstrapped this thing, right? You didn't raise a bunch of capital. So I have a lot of entrepreneurs who tune into Game Face Execs podcast, people who are thinking about starting their own business or have recently done so. And I think that's a debate we always have as small business owners. Should I raise capital? Should I bring partners and investors? Or should I just go it alone? So what was your thinking and looking back to make the right choice?
Well, that's a great question. So my husband and I, when we said that we're going to go all in on this company, I quit my job. He was still working his job at this point in the corporate world, but we said, okay, we made the decision to sell our home. And then we took a chunk of that, which was $30,000. We invested that in the first round of inventory and said, okay, like that's our risk tolerance right there is 30 grand. We're either gonna lose it or we're gonna, you know, make enough money to put in on another round of inventory and just like, let's see how this grows and where it goes. Originally, we did start with a 3 to 5 year business plan. So we did start with our end in mind and how are we going to get this? How are we going to grow this company to be where we want it to be in 3 to 5 years. And naturally our minds went to, well, we don't have a ton of money. We need to go to investors and we need to get people to help us out on this. And how much of the company are we willing to give up? So the challenge for us was, because nobody was doing this, this was a very foreign concept. I went into, I can't even tell you the endless amount of angel investor meetings I had, venture capitalist meetings I had. And it was all with, in no offense to any of these guys. I mean, they are very successful, but I'm sitting in a room with, you know, 50 to 60 year old men trying to sell women's apparel to them that can carry firearms. And the concept was just like so far out there. And most of them were not in the apparel space. So for a lot of investors, they don't like, that's too risky for them. Retail is a risky investment anyways, but especially on an idea that's not proven, that there's no proof of concept and they don't even understand that space. It was a very hard sell, but I would never give up that experience of making that pitch, because it really helped me hone in the message and it really helped me get so super comfortable and confident. You would think me hearing no that many times would actually make me like, well, I guess I'll go home and, you know, maybe I don't have an idea. But actually every no I heard strengthened my resolve and made me dig in and say, no, I know I have something here. I know we have a product. You guys aren't getting it. It's my job to make you get it. So I would go home. I would be like, okay, like what's going to resonate? So each time I would tailor my pitch a little bit differently. And we got so close so many times to, we're right there on the brink of getting an investment. And, you know, just the risk wasn't there. And also, we, like I said, we didn't have money for marketing. So we were limited in how much inventory we could buy and then sell. And so, you know, the sales numbers just weren't there right out of the gate for a lot of investors. And that was fine. I think it saved us, because at this point we own 100% of our company and we're doing really great. and we didn't have to give up a percentage of our company and a percentage of our dream to work with partners that didn't really understand the concept. So, you know, our next level of where we're going, we do see potential. I mean, investors are calling us. I don't have to call them and set up the pitch meetings. They're calling us. And so it's kind of nice that we get to navigate through that and say, you know what, not right this second. We don't need it right now, but here's where we're headed and maybe in the future. So I never burn a bridge there. I always keep those relationships going in case we do need that in the future. But, you know, every company is so different. You said you've got a lot of entrepreneurs that are listening to this show, and it's such a personal decision on what you choose to do. It can be extremely stressful to bootstrap it yourself, but it can also be very rewarding if you're ready and willing to put in the time and the effort to really grow it. And do you believe enough in your dream that you work hard to make it happen? And, you know, so I don't really have advice for for people that one way or the other, because I tried both ways. And the investor route didn't work out for us at the very beginning. But like I said, I would never trade that experience for anything, because it truly helped us just continue to hone in our messaging and believe in ourselves and our dream even more.
It's a very inspiring story. And I have to ask you, because you're a husband-wife team, and obviously you've made a strategic choice to make you, Amy, the kind of the face of the company. But I have to ask you, there are a lot of people who want to start a business, but perhaps the spouse or the significant other isn't really on board. You've been able to succeed because of each other, not in spite of one or the other.
Right.
So is there any advice for the married entrepreneur or the one who has a significant other who perhaps is not quite there yet? They don't have that entrepreneurial blood running through their veins. They may not see the vision. How do you navigate that? Or is that something you just never had to encounter because you were so aligned together?
Well, I mean, no, that's scary. Like I said, I didn't really know how my husband was going to respond to the initial idea. And I would say, though, since you do talk a lot about sales, if you can sell your spouse on your vision and your dream, that's probably the toughest hurdle to overcome. Then I think you can really accomplish anything, because they're going to be your toughest critic. They see all of your flaws. You know, they see how driven you really are. They see what you do on a day in and day out basis with your habits. And, you know, I think for a lot of people, it is important to get your spouse on board, especially if it's going to financially impact your entire family. you know, and it's hard for a lot of spouses that have a really good job. My husband had a really good job, and to say, okay, there may come a point where I'm willing to sacrifice that because I believe in this vision and where this is going. And, you know, some people just, they're not in a place that they can do that, or they just simply just aren't there yet. So I would say practice your story and your message so that you can make that sales pitch to your spouse, but then also start setting daily habits that they can see that make them feel more comfortable and confident knowing that you got this and you can do this. You know, I think my husband saw, like, my dad instilled a super hard work ethic in all of us since I was a very young girl. And so I think my husband saw the, I'm already up at 5 a.m. I'm working. I'm very goal oriented. I'm very driven. And so I think he knew, okay, if anyone can accomplish this, like, you can. I'm willing to put my eggs in that basket because he's seen how I operate on a personal level and a professional level in other situations. And so, you know, if there's some areas that you might need to tweak just a little bit to prove to that spouse that you can do it, you know, I think that's a great place to start. But yeah, not everyone is that fortunate. I'm super fortunate to have a very, very supportive spouse, and I couldn't do it. His skill set is really what helps, like, drive and keep this company going. He is that detail oriented operations CEO, like perfect COO type, where I'm the visionary and the relationships and the connector. And so it just works. And, but not every spouse is, not every couple is really bent that way to work in such a tandem with the other one in a business setting. You might work in a marriage, but it just might not work in a business setting. And you might just have to come to terms with that.
Well, I think that was great advice, very insightful. And yes, as a professional sales consultant, trainer, author, I love how you said that if your spouse is not seeing in you the attributes that they believe even innately are required to be successful in your own business, then you can say all you want to them, but it's not going to be convincing, right? It's not going to be persuasive. So that's a very good point. You have to walk the walk and really talk the talk before you can make that quote pitch to a spouse. Great point. You know, as we wrap up, Amy, and you know, you know that this podcast is themed around individuals like yourself who have motivated people, who have influenced people, who have inspired people, and you certainly have done that and you continue to do that. So I congratulate you and I commend you for that.
Thank you.
I also like to find out from my guests who has inspired them. You've given us a little bit of insight on that, but I want to go kind of a different route with you as we conclude, and that is, who is currently inspiring you to continue this journey into entrepreneurship, into growing this business, even in some people's minds or eyes, what could be construed as a controversial business? Mm-hmm. So what continues to inspire you? Not what started it, but what carries you through this journey?
That is a fantastic question. And 100%, it's our customers and the people that are utilizing our products that send me stories on a daily basis about how our products have absolutely changed their life by giving them the confidence that they need to live their daily life. When I get emails from college girls who they can't carry a firearm on campus, but they can carry a little mace in their pocket, and they tell me, I never realized really how afraid I was to walk home at 11 o'clock at night from the library to my dorm, but you're not just the apparel, but like what you guys stand for gives me the confidence. And it is empowering to know that I'm part of a much bigger community and a group of women who are all self-reliant and who are all empowered. And so that is what keeps me going every single day, because let's face it, being an entrepreneur and starting a company, especially in something like this space, is extremely challenging. And you have your highs. The highs are high, the lows are really low, and you really have to find and dig in and say, like, what is it that keeps me going every single day? There's so many things that have happened along our journey that most people would have quit. And honestly, like, we thought about it several times. And then right at that moment, I would have gotten an email from either a college student or an FBI agent telling me, like, thank you so much for making me feel feminine when I carry. And it's like the reasons why people love Alexa are so all over the map that I couldn't have even written the script on all of this. So just to hear from each and every one of them about what the brand has meant to them and what our stance, because we take a lot of the punches for them. And so I think that it gives them confidence when they see that I'm able to go out there and I'm able to face the media and I don't back down from really what I believe in, because I'm doing this for all of those women and really the men too. I'm out there fighting for each and every one of them because of how important I believe this mission is. And so I think that that gives them confidence to know that they can look at somebody who's not only making awesome apparel for them that makes them feel good and look good and gives them, you know, all of this ability to carry their self-defense tools, but they know like we're out there standing up for their rights. And I think that is super important to them. And that's why they feel like they're a part of this community. And they are truly the ones that keep us going every single day.
Well, Amy, you know I'm pulling for you. That's why you're a guest on this podcast today, because you know I'm pulling for you. And I love how you have been able to explain your motivation and what continues to motivate you and inspire you. So I would encourage my listeners and viewers to go to alexoathletica.com to learn more. And we'll just continue to watch your success and wish you and your husband all the best as you continue forward.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. This has probably been one of my favorite podcasts that I've ever done, because I love not just focusing on the firearm section, but the actual business itself. And so I really appreciate this opportunity. So thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Take care.
You too.
So how did Amy, who at one time was very uncomfortable even handling a firearm, go from being a fitness fanatic who lived with fear to an inventor of fashionable apparel that can accommodate whatever tool of protection a woman or man chooses? Whether or not you're into running or walking or firearms or entrepreneurship, you'll want to watch or listen to Amy's inspiring story and the customer stories that inspire her each day in leading Alexo Athletica. Thanks for being a part of this episode of Game Face Execs. If you found any of it useful or helpful, please rate or like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. I always appreciate you referring us to others as well. I'll see you next week. Until then, persuade, influence, inspire.